I've mentioned this because so much of what goes on, maybe our theology or what you believe, can be whatever will be. The future is not ours to see. And then sarah, sarah, is that how that? But so much of what happens maybe in our lives can, you know, through understanding our authority in Christ Jesus. And so I'm going to start out, Bill, I'm going to have actually the last scripture that I have on your list I want to start with, and then I should keep in order after that perhaps. So anyway, Father, thank you again. Thank you today for releasing what you want to release today. This is, it's important. Authority. Yielding to His authority is so important. Being born again, Lord, we thank you for being born again. But Lord, I ask that you would help me to communicate yielding to you this morning. Father, it's so important in our growth in you, yielding to you. So we thank you, Father, for revealing that to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. So Luke 10:9 says, and Jesus said, and heal those in it. And he was talking about in the town that he sent out some disciples. And heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now understand that at that time, that wording is very important. Jesus saying, the kingdom of God has come near to you, because Jesus hadn't died. He hadn't shed his blood for sin. He hadn't destroyed the dominion of sin and the devil in your and my life yet. So he was saying, the kingdom of God is near you. I want to show you, see, he was showing the Israelites some things that hadn't come into fruition or wasn't a part of a believer's life yet. And so he said, hey, look, heal the sick, tell his disciples. Lay hands on the sick. The kingdom of God is near to you. My prayer this morning is that the kingdom of God is not near you, but in you, in Jesus' name. I pray that in certain areas of your life, that God will reveal himself, that you may be born again, but there's areas in your life that may be near you, but God wants in you and a part of you and flowing through you and being victorious in your life. My question to you is, the kingdom of God near to you, or is it in you this morning? In me. The religion says he's afar off. We're trying to bring him close to ourselves. But truly through grace and through his salvation, we're working or following him or walking our life in Christ Jesus with the Spirit of God in us and not near us. Of course, he surrounds us. His voice is there, but it's coming from what he sealed us with, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank you for that, Jesus. We've mentioned through these weeks that what you believe is very, very important. It dictates which direction your life is going to go. It dictates what authority we have over what the enemy tries to, he tries to accomplish things in our lives. And we're going to learn today that a lot of times those things are only going to be accomplished if we yield to them. I feel that, like that thing's trying to bounce on me, or it needs to go down just a little bit more. Thank you, Sean. So go into Luke 10. We're going to start there. Luke 10, 17. Jesus had sent out some disciples, we're going to see here, to go into towns, and he says to proclaim the gospel. And he gave them at that time, he did something that had never been seen on earth. He gave authority to some disciples over Satan. And so they go out and they're proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is here. That's all they could do because they didn't even understand at that point what Jesus was going to accomplish for you and I. They didn't really understand authority, but Jesus said, hey, this is what I'm going to tell you. Go out and declare the kingdom of God is close, is at hand, and lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover, rebuke the enemy, and they'll come out of people's lives. So when he sent them out, that's what he had them to do. That had never been done before. People hadn't seen that before. Jesus was paving a way. And so that's where we start at Luke 10:17. It says, now the 72 returned with joy. Could you imagine, man? They are happy because of what God was doing through their lives. Now the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, and Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Isn't that funny? Jesus always just cuts to the chase, or what is recorded that we hear Jesus say right away. He says, I saw Satan fall from the sky like lightning, or from heaven like lightning. Now, you know what lightning's like. When you see it, it's boom, it's done, right? It's a flash. So when Satan rebelled and he was kicked out of heaven, there was no wrestling going on. There was no battle going on. There was nothing going on where you could observe from the sidelines and say, I wonder who's going to win here. As quick as he rebelled, as quick as God decided, he was gone from heaven. He removed from heaven. As quick as lightning, he was gone. It was nothing for God to say, that's it, Satan. What was found, pride that was found in your heart and sinning against me, the pride of man, right? But the sin found in his heart being pride, instantly he's thrown out of heaven like lightning. Let me tell you, it was easy for God to do that. There was no struggle for God to do that. The struggle that we see today, or that we're amongst, or that we're in the midst of, is that God, little g, right, is the God of this world. So what we see him doing in this world, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, doing through people that yield to him. The enemy can only do, could you imagine if everybody on this earth was a believer in Jesus Christ, did not yield to Satan, what power would Satan have on this earth? He would not have any. So understand that the authority, that the power that Satan and his dominion has on this earth is only through those that yield to him. As I grow in him, as you and I grow in him, the thing is we're growing in him and we're not yielding areas of our lives to him anymore. You know, we can be in areas where we don't realize that we yield to him and he has authority over certain areas in our lives because of us yielding our choices. But you know, the good thing is he loves us. He's still there. He's not given up. It's part of growth. Amen. It's the reason, the power of the cross, that he still lives in you and I, even in our struggles, even in areas of rebellion still. Still working with us. Still loving us. Still showing us his kindness. Still revealing himself to us. Still trying to get us to yield in certain areas where we realize, say, you know what, Lord, this area or whatever's going on in my life, this thought process, this belief, I'm going to yield to you and see you change my life in those areas. And I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm preaching, I understand, to many of us, to the choir. But I know it's something the Lord wanted to say this morning as we go forward. Because as I was studying this out, as the Lord was speaking in my own struggles, it was letting me know, hey, Chad, I am with you. It's just, there's areas in life you need to yield. Don't blame me, Chad. Don't blame me. It's a growth process in you to yield to me. And his kindness, how he does that with his love. Amen. I said he does that with his love. If you're a person who thinks that you're saved by grace, and we are, and then God just says, oh, you know, we are the righteousness of him, but don't tell me that if you're saved and born again, and then let's say you're married and go out and commit adultery, that God says, I didn't see that. He certainly did see that. Your wife certainly saw that. It has a ramification, but what we're saying is God forgives, that he lives in us because we're the righteousness of God. But he's still working in those areas of our lives. He's saying, man, I'm going to change those areas. I want to grow you. The misery, some of the misery or some of the struggles, it's just you needing to yield to me. How he loves us, how he wants us to yield to him. How his goodness and his grace, if we understood the loving kindness of our Father, that it's not, we cannot listen to this as condemnation. If you're taking this as condemnation, then that's the voice of the enemy. But I can tell you the word of God, that what as Paul had said to Timothy, to challenge people, to say, hey, what's, you know, to challenge as God is speaking, as God was speaking to me this week. I know he's not I'm not the only one that has struggles. And as God began to speak to me about these struggles, he started speaking to me about Chad yielding. Amen. Let's see a little bit about the one who was perfect in yielding to God. The only one that is ever perfect in yielding to God, Jesus. Amen. Behold, And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Verse 19, behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. That's a promise. But let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at what that means by injure. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions. Did you notice in this passage, he didn't say rebuke snakes and scorpions? By the way, snakes and scorpions being a type of Satan, the enemy. The enemy. You remember the snake, and if you read in Genesis, that was a form of Satan in the form of a snake deceiving Eve, amen? But it's saying here, I have given you authority to walk. So what's he mean by walk? He's talking about walking. He didn't say to rebuke or declare, but to walk. There's a certain part of our authority that goes beyond just declaration. We talked about declaration. What's coming out of our mouths is very important. Amen? But when we're going to talk a little bit about what this walking means, authority to walk on snakes and scorpions. Under our feet, amen? Those things being under our feet. You know, walk in the Greek means to tread down underfoot. It means a path. You know, you and I are walking a path with Jesus Christ. If you believe, if you're born again, you God's Spirit in you, all of a sudden you're like, I have a path. It means my life has a purpose. It means that whatever's going on for my day-to-day, even my job, my family, whatever's going on, even in the midst of my struggles, I have a path and a purpose. Amen. I think of Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When we're talking about walking on this path on our life, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be devils. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? There's going to be the enemy in our path. But the Word of God says that you're going to walk not around the enemy. You're not going to wait for the enemy to get out of the way. It says you're going to walk over the enemy. Amen. Well, how do we have an example of that? Jesus gives the greatest example in Matthew 4. Let's go to Matthew 4, 1 through 10. Many of us know this. It's just a reminder of Jesus, of how he handled the enemy. We're talking about walking a path. We're in a situation here where Jesus doesn't rebuke Satan or say, I'm God, get out of here. There was no demon to rebuke off an individual. It was his own battle. We all have our own battles with the enemies. His whole point is to discourage us. His whole thing is to get us to think less than God, think less of God, or think less of ourselves, or to give up or give in. That's the whole purpose of the enemy. So Matthew 4, verses 1 through 10, let's start in verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. By the way, in James it says that Jesus does not tempt anybody with evil. Amen? But it's our own will, our own struggles. It says we're drawn away, enticed by our own desires. That we're talking about sin. So Jesus doesn't drag us into bad situations and say, hey, I brought you here into an area where you're going to fail. That's not God. It's always the enemy. It's already there. He's looking for a way to deceive us. He's looking for a way to discourage us. God is not looking for a way to discourage us. He's looking always to encourage us. It's the enemy there that's trying to, in front of us. I thank God that someday that we won't have to face the enemy anymore. Life won't be perfect until what? Until he comes back again. But we can tread on snakes and scorpions until he comes back again. Amen. So he said in verse 2 and says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, this is Jesus, afterward he was hungry. He's fasted 40 days. He's in a weak situation. Now he was God, amen, but it says that he, in Philippians chapter 2, he laid aside his authority in himself of who he was. And it says he took on the form of a servant. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He still had to face temptations. He still had to face struggles. We're talking about Jesus. He still had to die with great pain on the cross. He had the sin of the world upon him. People say, no, it was just the sin of the world that he didn't want to face. Are you kidding me? He could feel pain. As they put while his stripes were healed, as he was whipped, you don't think he could not feel that? He couldn't even carry his cross. He was so weak, had been beaten so badly, had already shed so much blood that he couldn't even carry his cross, enduring all of that pain. So he understood weakness. He understood pain. He understood the things that you and I face, but without sin. He knows what it was like to have it come against his mind, have it come against his body. That's why it says that he has compassion for you and I, and that we can boldly go before his throne of grace, amen, in the time of need. Because him as our advocate, and also the creator of the world, it says he understands what we face. Everything that we struggle with, everything that we go through, everything that we don't understand, he understands. He's there. He's been through it. He's seen it. If you've been through abuse, he's been through abuse. If you've been rejected, he was rejected by man his entire life. He understands what we face. There's going to be a part of society, frankly, it's just not going to accept godliness, not going to accept Christians, and that's okay. We can't be friends with them. It means we can't do whatever we have to do to be friends with them. There's going to be a certain point or specific group of people in this country that are going to reject you and I regardless of what we do. That's okay, because I am loved by the one who bought me and purchased me in Jesus' name, gives me my strength, gives me my encouragement, said I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care if I'm struggling. I still belong to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. He was weak. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. So he said, hey, get out of this weakness, Jesus. You take charge here. Do what you need to do as God. But Jesus remained humble. Jesus allowed God to lead him. Just like when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, man, if this could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So as he's weak and Satan is tempting him, his mind, you imagine, hasn't eaten in 40 days. Man, the weakness of his body, the temptations that would try to come against his mind, trying to say to him, if you were God, what's Satan do to you and I? Are you his child? These struggles you're having, are you sure? If you were a child of God, that this wouldn't be taking place. You wouldn't be struggling with sickness. You wouldn't be struggling in your finances. You wouldn't be struggling in your marriage. You wouldn't be struggling this if you belonged to him, if he was with you. It was no different than what he was trying to do to Jesus at this point. But what did Jesus, he says, is written, verse 3, saying, if you're God, take control here. But what does Jesus say in verse 4? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, that tempter in the Greek means to scrutinize, entice, examine, nitpicking at every little wrong thing in somebody. Let's not be those type of people. Man, it brings destruction in a home, brings destruction in a church. Let's not be nitpicking at everything. You know, the Satan, he didn't get a name like Zeus, or he didn't get a name like, I'm trying to think of some of these mythical names of gods that there is. Who named Satan was God? He gave him a name that depicted his character. He didn't keep his name that he had in heaven, Lucifer, and what it meant, and being a powerful angel that he was. No, when he was tossed from heaven like lightning, and then God said, your name is this now. You're an accuser. You're a liar. We're not giving you a cool name. We're giving you a name that depicts who you are, Satan. So as he's trying to recall, so this first attempt from Satan, from the accuser, it says, the tempter, or the first words they use to describe Satan is tempter here. So he said to the tempter, being scrutinized, enticed, examined. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? It says that we tread on the enemy, that it's a path, that he's under our feet. And I think about the word of God that keeps us, it's a light into our path. The thing that's going to give us victory over the enemy in our lives is believing and keeping our hearts upon his word. Amen? Regardless of how I feel, regardless of struggles, whatever is going on, for me to be victorious over the enemy in a personal life is looking at what Jesus said and saying, hey, enemy, I know you're saying this, but this is what the word says about me. He bought me. He purchased me. I belong to him. Amen? We can rebuke the enemy all we want. If we don't understand the truth of who we are, the enemy is going to have access into our lives and areas until we understand that truth. Because we can rebuke and he turns around and says, yeah, but I got access here. You've given me access. You don't believe who you are in me. You are discouraged and allowing me to come back in. The word of God, Jesus giving the example here. I'm not going to let Satan have a foothold. I'm not going to allow him to trick me. I'm going to give him the word of what the word of God says. By the power of the word, the enemy was kept at bay. Number one, Satan says, that didn't work. Number two, in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Am I at the right place? Yes. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. So Satan now is trying to use the word of God himself. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Use the word tempter the first time. The second time, he uses the word devil, which means to traduce, which means to speak maliciously or slander. So another name, we have the tempter. Then it says we have the devil here, which means to maliciously slander. So the next thing is to continue to slander. If you are God, do this. So Jesus in his weakness. Let me tell you something, even in your weakness, regardless of how we are struggling or what's going on, let's not give up our great hope. Let's still believe in his word and stand firm. Let's not allow ourselves to be discouraged when things are coming against us. I'm telling you, there's victory. It doesn't matter what's going on. There is victory in Jesus' name. But we've got to trust him and adhere to his word in Jesus' name and understand he is my victory. He is my strength. Lord, I'm going to yield myself. Resist the devil, says, and he will flee. Amen? Lord, thank you for those areas that we need to yield, or maybe we haven't trusted you, Father God, that we become discouraged, that we once again would say, Lord, I'm going to encourage myself in these areas. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to believe in your word. That's how we grow and get into confidence in him. When the enemy comes in like the flood, we heard today, raising up a standard. Well, his spirit, his standard is the word of God. Jesus uses it as a standard. The Son of God used it as a rebuking or to keep the enemy at bay, to not allow the enemy to have a foothold in his life. He used the word of God. Amen? We thank you, Father, for the power of your word. In this day and age, we've got to remind us how powerful is the word of God, because we have the world coming to us saying, oh, that's an ancient manuscript. It doesn't mean anything. But I'm telling you, it is what is the power in our lives to make us victorious. However you read the word of God, whether you've still got a paper Bible or whether you have a Bible on your phone or on your iPad or whatever, it is still the power of God in the word that saves us. Amen. The word that gives us the ability to trample on snakes and scorpions. When Jesus was trampling on the enemy, he was using the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See the enemy and next. Amen. Jesus, thank you, Father. The devil, the second name, slander. He was saying, if you're God, pick up your authority. Do your will. Don't worry about God's will. You've got some authority. You've got some say. You know, when we're struggling, it's somebody else's fault. It's just the nature of the flesh. It's our nature of the flesh to blame somebody else. But much of the time, what we need to do in those things is, Father, I yield to you. Father, I'm praying for my wife, for my husband. Father, I'm going to pray for that boss or whatever. Lord, I'm not going to just start making accusations. Lord, I'm going to make sure first me. Lord, I'm going to yield myself to you in Jesus' name. It's a growth process, yielding. But to grow in him, to be used from him, we've got to understand what yielding is to him. As things press against us, the enemy will say, hey, you need to do this or do that. You need to get that person back, or you should never forgive that person for what they did. We don't realize what we're doing is, I'm not going to yield. I'm going to decide what needs to be done in this situation. Father, thank you for showing us, regardless of my struggle this morning, in our own lives in different situations, how to yield to you in Jesus' name and grow in you. And with his grace and his power, he gives us all the ability. It's not easy in our own selves. Our will, you ever heard of a strong-willed child? Or strong, you know, a lot of us are just still strong-willed children. It ain't my fault. I can justify my attitude. I deserve to have this attitude. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, and again the devil, the third time, and again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, Satan says, all these things I will give you, Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me. I'll give this all to you. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. Amen. Satan in the Greek says accuser. So we have Satan, we have the devil, and we have the tempter, and it's always accusatory, always trying to twist the word of God. For us to trample on snakes and scorpions, yielding ourselves to the word of God, yielding ourselves to him as we walk over the enemy. Jesus at that time could have said, you know what, I've had enough of this fasting. I think I'll make some bread. You know, I'm on this earth and everything I'm facing and everything going on here, he could have yielded to that, or not yielded to God. He had that choice as God. In a moment of weak, at his weakest time, where did the Word turn to? The Word. In our weakest time, Father, thank you for letting us turn to your Word. You know, during our weakest times, our struggles, where the enemy knows we're weak, that becomes the time that it's really the hardest time to turn to the Word. It just is. We get used to turning to attitudes. We get used to turning to other things to bring comfort, whatever that could be, addictions, whatever. Father, we thank you in maturing your people that we're yielding to your Word. Father, I'm no longer going to go that route. Lord, I'm no longer going to allow my attitude to remain what it was or what it is when this situation arises. Lord, I'm going to submit to you. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Lord, I pray that this is speaking to somebody, to all of us, as if understanding yielding to you. Amen. You know, the wonderful thing is his power is made known through our weakness. Let me just tell you, through these weaknesses, we don't want to look at them like with shame or disgust or fear. Look at him as this and say, Lord, thank you. My weaknesses, it says that your power will be, I can be strong in you. Through my weaknesses, Father, I can grow in you. Father, through my weaknesses where I'm willing to yield in these areas, you're going to grow me up. Ephesians 3, 8 through 13. Thank you, Father. Talking about Paul and his struggles and his weaknesses or the things he had done. Ephesians 3, 8 through 13. Do you have that, Bill? Verse 8 says, to me, This is Paul. To me, in the New American Standard, says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace, what did Paul call himself? The very least of all saints. The very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Verse 8, it says there. Amen. Let me just say that even in his weakness, I'm going to tell you right now, even in our weaknesses, God has a grace that he's given to our lives to walk in, to walk in his strength, to walk in his power. The Lord loves to take the least of people and to strengthen him, even in their weakness, to say, hey, I'm still going to use you. If you will just yield those weaknesses to me, I'm going to use you. If you'll just yield to me, we're going to move forward together. Amen. So Paul says, to me, the very least of all saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Amen. And in verse 9, he says, and to enlighten all people. And to enlighten all people as to what the plan and the mystery is, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly place. Harry's saying that, you know what, how his power is going to be revealed is through the church. Let me tell you one thing about weaknesses. Well, you know how another way that me and you can grow in our strength is when even in our struggles and weaknesses, we still come together. Did you know, even it says his multifaceted grace is released in his body. There's people here with gifts of encouragement. There's people here with different gifts that are to be shared with one another as strengthening one another. The multifaceted grace of God is shown through his church, and it says that the rulers and the authorities in high places see it. They notice it. They know when the grace of God is being evident in a body together. They notice it and see it. One thing it said that don't be of those who are not who don't meet together, who give up meeting together. I'm not saying you have to be in church every time the doors are open, but I can tell you that one facet of God's grace encouraging you and you yielding and being able to yield to him is being together as a body. Again, in that verse 10, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to become discouraged about my tribulations in your behalf, since they are your glory. One thing I wanted to mention last year, he says, hey, you see the tribulations and my struggles. Don't be discouraged. He says, God's grace and power are still with you. I want to say this, that as you see others, pray for those that you see that are struggling. Pray for those that you see that need the hand of God. Don't be discouraged when you see the enemy trying to work in people's lives. Don't be discouraged when you see what's going on in this world. Be encouraged. Paul has says it in different places. He said, hey, when you see what's going on with me, don't be discouraged. God is still with me. God is still with us. God's strength is still here. And I think I forgot one page of my notes. That's probably why it confused you, Bill. Amen. If we can have the worship team come up. I had another page here I wanted to share, and I don't have it. I'm sorry, guys. Do not know what happened there. I love that thing where verse 13, it says, therefore I ask you not to become discouraged about my tribulations in your behalf, since they are your glory. You know, if we can stand up together as a worship team, you know, if you're facing any discouragements or struggles right now, don't be discouraged. What you see happening are struggles of other people. Don't be discouraged. God is still working powerfully in people's lives. God is going to bring you in victory. God is working powerful in your lives. Amen. The scripture I was thinking of is where Paul said, "I were cast down, but we're not destroyed." Does anybody know what scripture that is? Thing was, his point was, even in the things that he was facing, he says, man, we're still victorious. I want to tell you that whatever you could be facing this morning, that you're still victorious. You know what the biggest thing is even during those things, is just say, Lord, I yield to your word. Lord, show me something in your word that'll encourage me. Lord, show me something in your word that'll strengthen me. Lord, when I get in these areas where I get discouraged, Father, you say, Father God, I'm not going to go back to those things that I used to find comfort in. Lord, I'm not going to allow my attitude to become sour. Father God, I'm going to yield to you. Lord, even today, like when we come, you could come in, you could be struggling, but when you worship him, when you lift his name up high, it's amazing how it lifts your spirit. Lord, cast down, but not destroyed. Regardless of what you're facing, he is your victory. Regardless of what's going on right now, do not allow yourself and your mind and your will to become discouraged. Don't allow your heart or your emotions to dictate what direction you will go, what you're going to do tomorrow, how your feelings are going to be. You tell them by the word of God, saying, Lord, I'm victorious in this. I know there's many people that are facing rough things, but I'm telling you, when we tread on snakes and scorpions, through his word, he brings us to victory. Jesus had also said in there, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but that your names are written down in heaven. I'm telling you, regardless of what goes on, we are still his. We still belong to him. We're still strengthened to him. We still have an eternal home. Amen. One thing I realize is I know that I'm going to be with him forever. I get through this life with a lot more strength. The Lord, I can overcome. I know I've got to grow in some things. I can overcome. Lord, you're my strength. You're my ability. Lord, I'm not going to give up or give in. Lord, I'm not going to be defeated in my attitude, because I'm going to yield to you and your word going forth. It doesn't matter if you've been in a funk for 2 days, 3 weeks, a month, or 2 months. Even today, you can say, Lord, I'm coming out of that. By your word, I'm coming out of that. Jesus said, it was written. The maker of this world said, it is written. He did not take things into his own hands, but yielded to him and to his word and saying, Lord, I'm going to go over this. My attitude is going to dictate that I'm going past this. I'm going over this. I'm going to crush the enemy. Snakes and scorpions, I'm going to crush by his power, his strength in my life. You know, that's what you know, understanding that is what I call being woke. Right now we face where I'll hear things, hey, the false people saying I'm woke, but it's a lie of an enemy. This is woke. Lord, I'm forgiving those who hurt me. Lord, I'm not going to allow things that have happened to me to dictate my future. Lord, through you who made me, by your word, I'm overcoming every obstacle. Jesus overcomes obstacles. I think I'd mentioned some months ago, there's a movie that talks about the Iranian church. And you know how they treat women in Iran. They're second class citizens, where fathers will give their daughters to be prostitutes. And because of just the way the religion has raised them. But listening to this one gal who had come to Christ and was able to forgive everybody who abused her and did not hold anything against them, and told them and says, you won't do that to me again. You hold no power over me. God's forgiven me, and you'll not do that to me again. But they didn't hold that. But now we have a thing where, for some reason, everybody's got to pay for their sin in society, even if it's not even real. That is not woke. That's a lie of the enemy. That's the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren says, you're going to pay for that. You owe me. Nobody owes anybody anything but love and forgiveness. I tell you, the same thing with this critical race theory that we're dealing with right now. There are states and schools, school boards that are being, that I'll tell you where the battle is in the school boards now.
Yes.
That's where ground zero is. I don't care right now what's going on in this country, in the White House or the Senate or the House. I know one thing, there's people that are waking up truly.
There is.
And they're saying, hey, not gonna have this. Not gonna have it in our schools. Not gonna have it in our churches. That is standing up for truth. You know, the Great Awakenings, we had the first and second Great Awakening. The first Great Awakening resulted in the Revolutionary War. People, that got messy. The second Great Awakening resulted in the Civil War. So as God is waking people up, it's going to separate churches. It's going to separate people. That one...
Charles Finney.
You guys, any of you ever heard of Charles Finney? Probably the greatest evangelist this country's ever seen in the Second Great Awakening in the 1820s. And so as he's leading hundreds of thousands to people of Christ, he said this. He says, if Christians don't get involved in politics, we won't have a country. And that was back in 1820. So that where this lie came in somewhere that we're not supposed to be involved, we're the ones that, this Jesus, it's the Judeo-Christianity is the one that brought this country to where it was. So we got to stand up.
Yes,
I'm sorry. We forgive people. We love people. We declare what the truth is.
Yes.
But we got to stand up and say, we're not going to stand up for this falsehoods. We're going to stand up for the truth. I said, we're going to stand up for the truth.
Amen.
So Father, we thank you for truly people really being awoke. Paul says, arise from the dead. He says, wake up, you that have been asleep. Amen. And come to the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for a true revival in this nation going forth, Father. In Jesus' name, by the word of God, by declaration of the word of God, by the anointing that's on your word in Jesus' name, that people will come to you. Father, we thank you for couples and husbands and wives and people in this country being examples of what your grace can do, Father. Changing hearts in Jesus' name. An example of what the grace of God can do in Jesus' name. How about you? Father, we thank you that we're going to trample on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Father, as we yield to you, we don't allow our own emotions and different things we struggle with dictate our life from day to day. We're going to grow in you. We thank you for that today, Father. We thank you for the anointing upon your people today, Father. We thank you even tomorrow morning, the first thing that in our minds as we wake up, Father, just saying, Lord, I yield myself to you and your grace this morning. Father, today I yield my life to you. And watch what you'll do, Father. We thank you that as we, Father, as we yield and grow in you, we thank you for bouts of depression being broken in Jesus' name, Father God. Father, we thank you for hopelessness being broken in Jesus' name, Father God. As people know the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Let's worship a minute together, can we?
Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.